Hi, everybody. This is Bob from Be Graceful with 2Ls.com, and this is Be Graceful Fellowship. First of all, thank you for joining me. If you're joining me on Facebook or if you're joining me on my personal page, I really appreciate you joining me. So basically, let me kind of explain. This time is going to be a time of me sharing and just kind of explaining where I'm coming from, why Be Graceful with 2Ls.com is different, and why I really, really, really hope that you will dig into what I'm writing and saying. First of all, let me tell you my story and how things started with me with regards to the journey of grace. Do I feel like I've always been on the journey of grace? Absolutely. Do I feel like grace has been an absolute change in my life, particularly since I was 27 years old? Absolutely. And so let me try to explain what that looks like and what that feels like. So when I was 27 years old, I was in my second counseling treatment center. And in my second counseling treatment center, I was in there for extreme depression, PTSD, stress-related illnesses, and things that I no longer felt like I had any control over, and had attempted suicide a couple of times. I did mention that this was my second counseling treatment center. My first one had been about 9 months to a year earlier. And so needless to say, at this point, my mom and a lot of people were extremely concerned about me. And I think that's the only reason why I met an amazing man named Joe Quillen. He came in late one night and he said, "Bob, have you ever heard of grace?" And I said, "Well, of course I have. I'm a Southern Baptist preacher's kid. For by grace are you saved through faith." And yada, 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 yada. And he said, "Well, I think you've heard of it. And I think the knowledge is here, but the knowledge needs to come down here. It needs to be a heart-based knowledge." Now, at the time, I had no idea what he was talking about. But as he began to share seven questions and scripture, which are going to be in the links that you'll see in the chat, my eyes began to be open. And I think they'll begin to be open for you as well, in case you're not already at some stage where you might understand this. But the seven questions are phenomenally important to me. And I've written them, put them in several different ways in several different places. It's the link that I'm sharing is called the 777 Awakening. Seven questions over 7 days with seven answers. So I hope you'll take a look at that. So basically, to explain Be Graceful with 2Ls.com, I want to go to a explanation of who is God, who is the divine. And I keep referring to him as, or her as, the divine. And don't be getting all weird on pronouns, whether it's a him or a her or whatever. And here's why. The divine indicates a being that is beyond mortal. Okay, a divine being is beyond my understanding. It's beyond your understanding. It's beyond any of us, any of our understandings. And so when we release that, when we go, okay, that's okay, then we can begin, in my opinion, to begin to open up to the idea of grace. So I use the divine because a lot of people have been hurt in the name of God. A lot of wars have been started in the name of God. A lot of greed, a lot of all kinds of really, really bad things have happened in the name of God. When I say the divine, I open it up to this big, huge mystery. And that's really important for me to get that point across and to get that, so that people understand that. And I'll dive more into that here in a minute. So the questions I have is the divine, the divine being, bigger than any of us, bigger than all of us? Is the divine, if we're going to say a divine being is divine and we're mortal, is that divine being beyond human comprehension. See, I believe that the divine is beyond human comprehension. For an example, the Trinity, the idea of three beings in one. Trying to explain that. Or instead of trying to explain the divine with what's called theology, the study of God, we could just accept some things. And I'm going to talk more about that just here in a minute. My second question to you is the divine in all of us? We say we were all made in the image of God, the divine. So is the divine in all of us? And why is that so important? Well, part of the reason that's important is because it opens the door to the possibility of loving others who are not like me, but remember they were still made in the image of the divine. And so how do we reconcile this? How do we reconcile the idea that the divine is bigger than any of us and the divine is in all of us? Well, here's the way I reconcile it. And this has brought me a whole lot of peace. This is cast away all my burdens. This has thrown off all the heavy weight that I used to carry when I was religious. Because when I was religious, it was like, here's the rules you follow. Okay. And why exactly are we following? Well, those rules are in the Bible. Well, yeah, but so are these rules over here. And I'm pretty sure you can't have it both ways. You see, the law never made anyone righteous. And if I were to go back to the 777 awakening, the first question in there is, what is the purpose of the law? And the purpose of the law, according to the Bible, is so that transgressions might increase. There's a mystery for you, right? Because God hates sin. And breaking the law is sin. Dive more into that. Check out the 777 Awakening. Again, the links are in the chat, and I'll post those links again as we move forward. So one way that I reconcile this is I'm a mystic, okay? Let me explain what that means before you go all Harry Potter on me. A mystic is someone who believes in the mystery of the divine. The mystery of the divine. And what exactly does that look like? Well, I believe that we could either believe in a mystery that is beyond human comprehension towards love, forgiveness, grace, understanding, and acceptance, or we could lean towards the whole, you know, judgment, wrath, condemnation thing. In which case, I've got a whole new set of questions for you. Like, are you really sure you want to be in that heaven thing? Just saying. So, as a mystic, I believe in the mystery. Now, here's the thing. There's mystery on one hand. And on the other hand, there's what's called dualism, or a dual idea of God. Here's the idea. There's good and there's bad. There's this and that, and we separate things out, and we make them separate. There's this side and there's that side. But from the mystic standpoint, what if there wasn't? What if is the dream that came to Stephen is that it's all clean? Take a look. There's a really cool story in the Bible. I think it's in Acts, where Stephen had this dream, and this dream was all sorts of food, because food is a big thing for the Israelis, for the Hebrews, and the Jewish people, as far as like what was clean and what wasn't. And this big sheet came down from heaven, and he was told it's all clean. Paul repeatedly said, we're no longer under the law. Take a look at the book of Galatians. Take a look at the book of Philippians. I mean, moment after moment after moment. So what was the purpose of the law? There's a lot of scriptures in the 777 Awakening that I think you'll appreciate and that will serve you well to really dig into and to check out. But I can tell you from a graceful standpoint, the purpose of the law was to make me realize that I need perfect love, and that perfect love embraces me, and that perfect love took away the law, took away the need for the law. So that's mystery versus dualism. Mystery as who Jesus was. You know, everyone was like, well, you know, is he this? Is he that? Is he the other thing? You see, if I believe in the mystery of who Jesus was, I open up the door to like, okay. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, but okay. There's more acceptance. There's more embrace of each and every other person as we open up to the idea of just accepting the mystery. You know, it's an interesting thing, this word called faith. We've taken that word to say, well, I am of the Christian faith, and I am of the Muslim faith, and I am of the Jewish faith. It really doesn't mean that. Faith is simply resting in an idea. So here's my idea that I rest in. God, the divine, whoever, whatever you call him, is perfect love beyond human comprehension. Because remember, as we said earlier, the divine, beyond human comprehension. And as a result of the divine being beyond human comprehension, we can rest. We can rest in the idea that that love beyond human comprehension embraces us all. Now, I know it's really difficult to go, but my group's special. We're different. We're unique. We do things different. We're special. Okay. I'm not going to try to convince you. I'm just opening you up to a mystery. Here's the mystery. We're all one. We're all part of all. And all is the great I am. And the great I am is perfect love beyond human comprehension. Therefore, just have faith. Just rest in the idea that the divine is perfect love beyond human comprehension for all of us. Do I believe in hell? Do I believe in this? Do I believe in all this? You know, there's a really great writer that I listen to. In fact, linked to one of his Audible books is in the links that I shared. It's called The Art of Letting Go by Richard Rohr. Last name is Rohr. And, you know, he said some things that I've been saying for 30 years, but I can't put them as eloquently as he puts them. But one of the quotes that he used was from somebody else where this person said, you know, it's heaven all the way to heaven, and it's hell all the way to hell. And that really, really sums it up. It so vividly sums it up. Because heaven's not some place you go to after you die. Then you're just like checking the boxes between here and there, hoping like, good God, I hope I do enough good stuff. That's not heaven. And you're up there with some ogre who says, you did not do this. And besides that, there's a lot of contradictions on those laws, isn't there? I mean, God did tell people to kill other people. Outside of that, Jesus himself said, unless you hate your mother and your father and your brother and your sister, you're not fit for my kingdom. What about obey your parents? What about Jesus breaking Sabbath? I mean, there's item after item after item. Am I okay with that? Yeah, absolutely, I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay with that. How can I be okay with that? Faith, rest, The idea that the divine is bigger than you and me and all of our collective consciousnesses. It's bigger than all of that. Him, her, it, whatever the divine is. It's bigger. It's just that simple. So mystery as unifying and healing. You know, there's this great passage in the Bible that everybody likes to quote where Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. Do you know who he said that to? He said that to the most legalistically bound people on planet Earth. He said that to the people who were being beaten and whipped by the Romans, who were being beaten by their own high priest into obeying and into paying money to be forgiven and into making sacrifices and all and on into people that were weary, people that were struggling. So what was meant by all that? Well, I think it's this. Grace is healing because grace says judgment's done. It's gone. By his stripes, we are healed. Was he talking about the flu? Jesus came to set the captives free, yet there is zero recorded jail breaks. I wonder if that captivity has more to do with our inner and our spirit and our soul. I don't know. I don't know. But this much I do know. Grace unifies us. Grace awakens us. Grace heals us. And we would love to have you on our Facebook group, which the link to that is also over here. And that's Be Graceful page. Be Graceful with two L's page. And so we'd love to have you join that. And I would love to know if this message got out there, if you liked it, if you hated it, whatever the case may be. Please give me some feedback because I would like to start doing this on a regular basis on Sundays. And I won't be around next Sunday because next Sunday is a 3-day weekend and we're going to go take some family time. But I do hope that you'll let me know and you'll give me some feedback. And if this has helped you, if this has blessed you, tell me. If you hate this, if you think I'm the Antichrist, whatever the case may be, let me know. Let me know. I'm pretty easy going now. Haven't always been that way, but part of growing in grace is just realizing that every moment is in the control and in the divine plan. So it's all good. We'll get more into that later on, and we'll get more into practical grace. When I talk about practical grace, yes, I talk about meditation. I learned how to meditate from the Buddhists because Christians weren't really teaching it at the time. But there's some great Christian meditation teachers, Thomas Merton, Thomas Keating. And we'll go into this, all of that right here on Be Graceful with 2Ls.com. I want to leave you with this. There's two voices that continually compete for your attention. One is going to yell at you and shame you and condemn you, get in your face and look at your soul and tell you you're unworthy. And it's going to scream and be a last nasty, loud, horrible sound. I know because I counsel people in grace and I hear them telling me about the same voice that used to haunt me. And then there's the whisper. And the whisper sounds like this. The whisper says, I love you, my child. I love you with a love that's beyond human comprehension, and there's nothing you have to do. When you believe in this love, your life becomes a beautiful, flowering, effervescent event. So just believe that the love is there. Just believe that I'd love you like that. Just believe that you're not dirty. There's no shame. Believe that there's no more condemnation. All of that got taken away. And I sent my only son to prove that to you. leave you with this. Learn to listen to the whisperer, and life is beautiful. Love you, and we'll talk soon.